In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our first reading for this day, we heard these words of the Lord from the prophet Hosea. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. This statement is striking. After all, it was the Lord who had instituted burnt offerings and sacrifices at the tabernacle and the temple. It was the Lord who instituted the Passover sacrifice. And yet, in these words, he says that these are not the things that he desires most. What he means to tell us here is that the Lord God does not desire one who goes merely through the motions. What he desires more than this is that his people would love him and know him. This, of course, is an impossibly high standard for you and I to live up to. We are wicked and depraved people who cannot know or love God fully. We're so easily distracted and drawn aside from our good intentions. And yet, the good news for us Christians, though we be poor, miserable sinners, we can know the Lord well enough for our salvation. We can love him, albeit imperfectly, on this side of eternity. And that love and that knowledge that we have by virtue of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives can and will mature in God's good and perfect timing. But until that day comes, while we remain on this side of eternity, it is clear that knowledge of Christ must precede love of him. For if we do not know him, we cannot love him. And so it is that the prophet Habakkuk declares to us in a very vivid way the chief place that we come to know Christ. In the midst of two beasts shalt thou be made known. The words in the midst are fulfilled, as we read earlier. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. And the word beast, this indicates that Christ has become our beast of burden. He has borne our sins unto the cross. He has become our beast of sacrifice, our Passover lamb. See, we do not know the Lord if we think that what he desires primarily from us is our sacrifices, that we earn his favor in some way. Such efforts are a fool's errand. We cannot know God fully apart from the cross, for he desires primarily not what we do for him, but he desires that we would come to know what he has done for us. We are like the Israelites who were slaves in Egypt, helplessly at the mercy of the Lord. But we remain slaves to our sinful passions, slaves to the temptations of this world, and slaves to the relentless attacks of Satan. Yet we have it much worse than the Israelites in some ways. For slavery to sin has eternal consequences, whereas temporal slavery in this life comes to an end with death. Just as the Israelites were unable to free themselves from their slavery, so too are we unable by our own reason or strength to free ourselves from our slavery to sin. But the Lord's answer to the Israelites' slavery is instructive for us. For he did not instruct them to help themselves and get themselves out of their slavery. Rather, he came down to rescue them. And he instructed them, as we heard in our second reading, to take a lamb without blemish and to offer it as a sacrifice. For it is far better that one should die than that the whole nation should perish. And so this Passover lamb was sacrificed. Its blood was shed, and its blood was painted upon the doorways, so that those who remained in the house, those who were covered by the blood of the lamb, would be saved from God's judgment through its substitutionary death. And the Lord God, as we heard, commanded Israel to observe this Passover yearly by sacrificing their own Passover lamb. And yet, he said, I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The Lord is not pleased with one who merely goes through the motions, even if they are motions that he has commanded. More than empty rituals, the Lord desires his people to know him. He desired his Old Testament people, Israel, to know him by remembering his deliverance of their ancestors from Egypt. And he desired them to know him by looking forward to the greater Passover, which was to come. And so it is on this most holy of days that we see Jesus Christ, our Lord, as the final Passover lamb, who brought about the greater Passover for us. That first Good Friday on which our Lord Jesus Christ was condemned to death and suffered death upon the cross, that first Good Friday was the day of the Passover. And so it is that all of the previous Passovers, from the very first one in Exodus 12 up until that day, all of those Passovers were but a shadow pointing forward to the greater Passover that was accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ there on Golgotha. St. John wants us to see this connection between our Lord Jesus Christ and the Passover lamb through a number of details, especially the mentioning of the hyssop plant, which was used by the soldiers to provide our Lord with the drink of the sour wine, the same plant which was used to spread the blood upon the doorposts. St. John also records the fulfillment of this striking prophecy. Not one of his bones will be broken. This prophecy is not one that you will find by looking in the pages of the books of the prophets in the Old Testament. This prophecy that not one of his bones will be broken, rather, was spoken by the Lord God about the Passover lamb itself. So it is that the very Passover lamb was a prophecy of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he is the once and for all Passover lamb who was sacrificed as your substitute. The sinless, spotless lamb took upon your sins, for he deemed it better that he suffer than that his people should perish. He poured out his blood so that you might be covered by it and thus saved. And so, my friends, the Lord does not desire you to present your own good works and your own deeds as something to be boasted of before him. The Lord does not desire your sacrifices and burnt offerings in that way. For there is but one sacrifice with which the Lord God is pleased, and that is the sacrifice of his beloved Son. Your sinful deeds and even your righteous ones are but filthy rags before the Lord. As wicked and depraved as you are, you cannot earn his favor. But this is precisely what makes this day good. The one who is covered by the blood of the Lamb will be saved. This, my friends, is our greatest hope. Indeed, this is our only hope of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.